Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Lord, we thank you for your presence. We give you all the praise. Thank you for your spirit in this place. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of understanding. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Can we be seated? Hallelujah.
All right.
Let's get into the word. I have a lot to share, but I won't try sharing everything because I want everybody to get every bit of what we're trying to say. So I won't try to finish everything. The goal is not that I finish what is in my notepad. The goal is that you understand whatever I'm trying to finish. Are we together? So not rush. But I need everybody to be very attentive. You read that parable, is it in Matthew 13, that showed how that the enemy likes to steal the seed of God's word? Can you remember? Huh? How that the Bible calls the word of God the seed. I think in Luke's rendition, it was in Luke 8:11, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see it. Luke 8:11. It calls the word of God seed. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, right? So I mean, the parable is long. Some of us have read that parable, isn't it? That some seed fell upon rocks, right? Somewhere. Huh? Some, you know, different places. Finally, Bible calls the seed that had been falling the word. And the places it fell, the state of their hearts, the conditions of their heart, isn't it? Huh? And if you observe, the Bible did not call Satan the condition of their hearts. The Bible only said, you know, I'm finding a connection now with another part of scripture. I think still Matthew 13 or Mark 13. That speaks about when the good sower sold, then while men slept, right? Then it says, a wicked master came and what? Sold. And what did he sow? Meanwhile, what had been sowed before? Wheat. Then the wicked servant came and sowed tares. Are you here? Now, let's try to calculate something here. Look at how the devil works. He's not omnipresent. Well, what did he do? The Bible said when he sowed, he left. All right? That's why we warn you about wrong communication, wrong company. Because Satan can use those company to sow wrong seeds in your heart. And while they are gone, Satan is still exploring your heart because of the wrong seed he had sown. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. So you see, Satan is not omnipresent. What he does is that he sows wrong seeds and it goes away. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? But meanwhile, the Bible had called the word of God seed. Where am I driving at? The condition, I'm trying to look at the condition of the hearts of the people, isn't it? It said some fell on rocky grounds, some fell on grounds that had thorns, right? And some fell where? By the wayside. Hallelujah to Jesus. Rocky ground, by the wayside, hearts that had thorns. Now I'm thinking, if you look at that parable carefully, the Bible said it's not just literal, alright? They were more like figurative. So if you say heart that had thorns, rocky ground. He spoke about what, I mean, the original meaning in its essence is for hearts that are rocky grounds. What does it mean according to that parable? Can you remember? I don't want us to read it. I want us to just remember it. Guess. Yes, not deeply rooted. I think one like that. Secondly, he said the cares of this life. That one is for thorns. He said the cares of this life came and what? Shook the world and what? That's how the devil stole it. The Bible did not say Satan took his hand. So he just made sure that wherever God planted a seed, he came and planted something wrong there. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? That will cause the seed not to be what? Growing the right way. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? That is why the battlefield is the mind. As we hear the word of God, don't just rest. The Bible says, why men slept. In other words, when you are sleeping, not literal, when you are not really praying. To pray means to really meditate on the word you've heard. What happens? It comes and it plants wrong things in your heart that will condition your heart to be in a wrong environment or ground for the seed of God's word to what? Grow. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? So when you hear the word of God here, it's not enough. You go back and you meditate upon it. You stay with it so much. Else the enemy will what? Sow the wrong seeds. And when will he sow? When? While men slept. Meaning while you are not spiritually awakened. That's what the Bible says. Pray without ceasing. Meaning always be conscious of the word. Always be conscious of God's word. Alright? Because the essence of prayer is that the word of God becomes your number one priority. The word of God becomes your number one consciousness. Are we together? That's the essence of prayer. Alright? Are you guys here? That's the essence of prayer. That the word of God becomes your number one consciousness. Glory to God forevermore. So, Satan, what am I trying to say in essence? Satan is not comfortable when it comes to word movement. Sometimes even as we teach the word of God as preachers, he tries to even distract us. Through some of you, he does it. Because you see, the devil likes patterns. He studies patterns. Are we together? He finds out Pastor Simon always get angry when somebody stands up and move from the church. Then he inspires three people at a time. He says, stand up. Now, because I know him, I may want to shout and say, you bastard, will you sit down there? But I'll remember that if I do like that, God is not glorified. The Bible said the anger of man can never reveal the righteousness of God. Are we together? He said the anger of man can never reveal what? The righteousness of God. Sorry, please. Are we together? So I have to calm down. Just like a preacher who we saw on the internet lately, the news had been everywhere. He was preaching and somebody's phone rang. And he got offended. Then he now said, I'm giving last warning. I saw the video. Should in case the phone will ring again, I'm going to leave this pulpit. Who in his normal sense will hear last warning and not off their phone? Who in their normal sense will hear last warning and not on their, off their phone? But because of Satan, in fact, while he was finished speaking, it just landed small. Satan just said, today you must leave this place. Another person. That's how the enemy is terrible.
You know, people are wondering whether it was right or wrong. Forget about the right or wrong, whether it does it. Focus on this part I'm talking to you about. That's how the enemy behaves. Some of you, as we're teaching now, you have studied Pastor Simon. You inspire peace to worry you. Then when you go, you know pee. Even you, it will shock you. So I still say peace to worry me. The enemy just wants to use you. Because if I reacted and said, you fool, will you sit there? The heart of men will be like, Jesus, person they preach, they call people fool. Which kind of useless preaching be that? You go back home, listen to what I taught you, say, no, I don't hear that kind of pastor. Pastor, they preach, they insult people. Is that what you listen to that kind of pastor for? Amen? That's the goal. That's what the Bible says. A man that is angry is like a city without walls. If you don't have control over anger, the Bible says you are like a what? City without walls. Anything can happen. Any small thing people do will get to your heart. No walls. And justifiably, most preachers or most men of God have anger issues. Most men of God. You know why? It's not easy to pastor human beings. It's not easy. It's easier to pastor. Let me not go there. But it's not easy to pastor human beings. You know, there are some things you can control easily. But I don't want to go there. But human beings, it's not easy. When you mean them well, they even think, they'll start suspecting you. Why? Why is a man who married that brother? That brother I like. It's like if they keep that brother for his sister. No, I could marry that brother. Maybe he won't marry brother. That brother marrying sister. And pastor is like, that brother doesn't look like he's the one. He's like, no. In fact, they'll go somewhere and they'll tell them, your pastor is controlling you. You know, Satan will inspire you. Most of you, if you want advice, if you are very stubborn and you want advice, you don't ask people in church. Some of you here. When you are becoming stubborn, you don't ask for advice within people in church. You go outside church where you will hear what you want to hear. Hey, pastor, can I talk to you? There's something wrong in my church. I don't understand. Say, what is it? In my church, Did they break people relationship? They come to us the other day, 9 HOD, stand up, say, everybody stand up. Say, you say, how many of you are in relationship before you met Jesus? Now some people raise their hand though. They come say them, they don't born again. The person said, don't born again, no. What is bad there if two people born again? Where they've been there inside the world. But pastor say, make we break up. Say, we don't know what will be they do for darkness. But now we don't daylight. Should be everything not finished? You know, you've heard me say things like that, right? That if two of you were not born again and you were in love, if you born again the same day, two of you should separate because you never knew where you were. The Bible says you were in darkness, but you are now light. How can you know what to do in darkness? Are you listening to me? So in case you are here wondering, if as a young man you fell in love while you were not born again, she's not your wife. Quote me anywhere. If you like verse, she's not your wife. Are you listening to me? It's the truth. But when we do it in church, sometimes the enemy, very terrible guy. If some of you understand Satan, you will fear Satan. Not fear. Maybe you just give him his cap small and say, I'm not going to deal with you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Because the guy will manipulate you to a point you don't even believe that you are. When Satan is done with you, if you are stubborn and Satan finishes with you, you don't even know you are a human being. He will treat you like you are an animal. He wants to destroy you like an animal. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When he was done with Eve, where was he? He left. He cut out, shush up. Hallelujah to Jesus. So so be warned. I said that for somebody or some people. Even Paul, while they were teaching God's word in the Bible days, they had an experience. Acts 20:29. See one of the experiences Paul the apostle had. Let's read together. One to go. Can we read it in the NLT's rendition or the Amplified rendition? One to go. More of the classic when I say the Amplified, alright? Not the regular, alright? Let's read. One to go. Okay, give me NLT. I don't like so much English for this. Let it be literal. One to go. NIV. NIV. Okay. Another one is here. I know that after I leave, what? I think this is even better. How many of you know the meaning of savage here? Old KJV. Let's try our luck here. Old KJV. Okay. They're still grievous here. TPT. We pray this one settles his course. I don't know if you know what imposters means. Choir, you know? If choir know, we can move forward. Let's read together. One to go. All right. This one is even worse. We started with imposters. We ended with what? Savage. Well, you know what this means? Paul is saying that he knows that when he leaves, he knows already that people will come and lie to them that everything he thought was wrong. That's what Paul is saying here. He said, when I leave you people, another people will come. Look at the next part of scripture. See what makes it more ambiguous. You say, even some from among your very own ranks will rise up. Go back to NKJV. Just respect that rendition. It's the best. Also from among yourself, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. You see that? Paul said, many will rise. Satan is in that business of making sure that the truth of God's word is not listened to, adhered to. He said, many will rise. So he had to create some systems. You know, when you read the Paul's letter to Timothy, you see where he sent Timothy, sent Titus, in the book of Titus, to go and make sure they watch over a people to maintain sound doctrine. Remember? I've shown you several times, isn't it? He will send them to go and watch over a people to make sure they maintain sound doctrine. Because he knew the value of truth. In the beginning, we showed how that Satan always tried to steal the seed of God's word, not by using his hand to steal it, but by creating an environment not suitable for the word of God to grow. Are you listening to me? Not suitable for the word of God to what? Grow. And that is why the Bible in 2 Corinthians 10:4 makes us understand that we ought to wage warfare and prayer. Not to hit the devil physically. That's why verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 10 says something wonderful. It said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Alright? We are fighting a spiritual battle very bigger than trying to kill somebody physically by these low-ranking demons in the Okpogas and the rest. Vandekia. Not those kind of fights. Alright? Or in one, or those physical Azure spirits and the rest. No. Paul is saying that there's a higher fight in the supernatural, and the battlefield is our mind. He said we don't need carnal weapons. It's a battle over identity. Satan wants you to have a wrong identity about yourself. Look at it. See, for the weapons of our warfare are not what? Physical. But are what? For pulling down what? Go back to the NKJV. Or if you can give me the NLT. Alright, he said we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human and to what? Can we read together, everyone? One, two, go. You see, so what is God's mighty weapon? To knock down the stronghold of human reasoning. Underline that word there, strongholds. What are strongholds? Who can tell me the meaning of strongholds? Any idea? In secondary school, some of my Hausa friends would say, sir, no idea. What does it mean? Can somebody rush with the mic so that people that will hear the audio of this message will also be blessed?
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Stronghold is like a wrong idea or wrong knowledge that someone seems to hold so strong onto. Meanwhile, in the real sense, is rather destroying the person.
Beautiful. Who has a more ambiguous, or you feel you have more elaborate? Okay, come to Mr. Richard. Richard, you are having muzzle. Are you Jimmy? I remember when I was like you. Alright, go ahead.
Strongholds are false ideologies from man's wisdom.
From what?
From man's wisdom.
Man's wisdom. Okay. Anybody else? Or we just move? We move, right? Choir. People have an idea here. Should I move? Okay, come and give somebody in the choir if they don't want to answer me. Should I move? Okay, alright, it's okay. They say I should move. Hallelujah to Jesus. Strongholds are not just false ideas. They are false ideas. That's one part of the divination, which you got false ideas. But it goes even broader. Like you said, every false idea actually destroys anybody. But there's something I think he pointed out. False ideas have stood, they've been standing over time in the life of people. Alright? They've been standing over time in the lives of people. Jesus makes it even more clearer in scripture. He said, if the light in you be darkness, how what? So that darkness is strong. Because that falsehood had become your own civilization. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Let me give you an instance of strongholds, an example. For instance, have we had this idea that say no man is? Meanwhile, in scripture, what did the Bible say about us? It said, be what? As your what? So you see, we had grown with a mentality that nobody can be what? And do you know this mentality can cause, position us for destruction? Are you people here? Gather your hearts together. It can position us for destruction. Because as long as you think you can be perfect, you expect to act imperfect actions. Should I say acts? Whatsoever. You begin to act in wrong ways because you are expected not to act perfectly. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So if, for instance, you think you can be perfect and no man in quotes can be perfect, why should you act in perfection? Act perfect. Act. Hallelujah to Jesus. Alright, so if you left with somebody's wife, why should you not sleep with her if no man is perfect? And if you sleep with her and it is believed no man is perfect, nobody is perfect then. The man should not be blamed, the woman should not be. But you see, we're even contradicting our ideology. Because it's false. If no man is perfect, I asked during Kabod, I said, why do we have problem with certain sins in this world? You know, it depends. This wisdom only stays as long as the sin does not go beyond some certain sins. If, for instance, you cheat in an exam, no man is perfect. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Because that sin, even some Christians used to do it. They copy very well. Hallelujah to Jesus. If, for instance, also, now I'm not saying they are supposed to copy, but some Christians used to copy, and they come back and pray in tongues like this, no, like it's no man's business. Because, and if you catch them, for instance, they may tell you no man is perfect. But imagine you catch a Christian smoking weed, and after he smokes weed, he now holds the mic, la ba 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 ba, no man is perfect, nobody should judge me, ba 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 ba. They will drive him from that church because that is imperfection has gone beyond the zenith of. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Of what we expected, you know, that sin has gone beyond the holy sin. You know, how do I explain? There's a certain sin that is not so harmful. Venial sin. So if he does serious sin like fornication, then, you know, they are going to hit his head. Like one time, I had an experience. We were looking for a dear lady with my in-laws, one of my in-laws, and the teacher, it was a teacher of the lady in school that wanted to see her, and she didn't know, she was just falling a victim of it innocently. Very young lady, around 16 there about, and the mother was almost dying, you know, she can't find her daughter. He just commanded her to come somewhere and meet him. It's like they wanted to continue assignment or something, I don't know. So she was crying, and I had to call on my military friend. We collected the phone number, and we started trying to track. Somehow, through caller with some tools we use, we kind of tracked them. We now pretended, when we got the man's number, we now, somehow, wisdom of God came. I said, tell him about the business. I just feel, you know, he said, so what of that thing now? Where is it? Are you in Makodi? He said, yes. Where are you? I need to collect it now. Where are you now? Be fast. He now told him, ignorantly, where he was. So he just came there. He was in an hotel. Hallelujah to Jesus. Why was I mad? My wife was worried. Ah, Pastor Simon, blah, blah. I said, what do I had to be involved, because she was, you know, it was a small girl. Now, I was so pained I left the house that morning. That was the number one pain. I didn't plan to leave the house. Number two, I was so pained is a lady's teacher. I know one day God will give me a lady for a daughter. So I was using that pain to handle that case of this thing. Hallelujah to Jesus. So when I saw the man, saw the way the woman was crying, see the stress we had gone through, my military friend said, Pastor Simon, the way you are boiling, don't touch that man, no. Allow me handle the case. And I said to him, no problem, but let me be in the front. So when we entered, I just held the guy. I did small thing to him, very small thing. And the guy was on the ground. My military friend was the one advising me, now pastor you be, oh. Now pastor you be. I say, now true, continue. You know, why was I mad? I couldn't believe that somebody like that who, and when we did our research, we brought him to my office to interview him. When we brought him to my office, we're interviewing the guy, and we found out this is his second marriage. He's married to two women already. He had a wife first, he now married another one, and now he's trying to marry his child. Someone as little as his child. And I said to him, I said, because we seized everything he had. I said, I feel like dealing with you very well. But you see, the love of Jesus covers a multitude of sin. These were my words. I said, I feel like, let this fan flow. I feel like dealing with you so much. You know, when I looked at him, I just felt like dealing with him. I was seeing everything in the spirit and in the physical to do to him. You know, maybe he should just go home with a broken hand or broken leg that he will treat for 1 year. So that anytime he wants to do that bad thing again, he will remember that this is the reason why my hand is bent. But the Holy Spirit said no. You know, what I want to hit is the fact that while we're there, when we caught the guy, and the mother started crying, and the mother was hitting him, wicked man. He said, you know, it was woman that identified him. She said, not their teacher. Oh! She started hitting him. Do you know what I heard that almost got me angry? Some people out there, some bike men, they came and said, make una leave him. Make una leave him, Jerry. Now who sent the girl? Everybody, they do that kind thing. Everybody in a sinner. May not leave that man. I was like, I looked at them. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Now, you know, because they feel like probably they can do such a thing, they want it to become a norm. Are people getting what I'm trying to say? Huh? Have you heard people that support LGBT before? They will tell you, no, it's not like I'm doing it, but they should just allow those guys to be their self. Have you heard people talk like that before? They are LGBT people. Whether it's your brother, is seeing a man. Because nobody, yes, that's what I said. Go and check well, you'll catch him. They will pretend as if they are not part of it, but they are part of it. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Because nobody who is outside of this school of thought will support such an ideology. So, strongholds have been, you know, for instance, there's another movie I watched on Nollywood. The lady, I told you people about it, the lady came back home after the man cheated on her. And what did the mother say? Go back to your husband. Which house did he enter? Go back to your husband. And she said, mommy, I told you he just cheated on me. He has been cheating on me. Say, go back. You know how many times your father don't cheat on me? As you mean I leave. You think, say, if I finish school, if I marry, now because of Una, I stay for this house. And she left back. And in the comment section, men were very happy. They said, good mother-in-law. Have you heard men that talk as if it's their right to cheat? Have you heard? Strongholds. Because the lie has been staying for a long period of time. It's now like truth. In fact, it is believed that all men cheat. Yes. That's why there's a saying that says, all men are what? Scum. Yes, there's an ideology that says men are polygamous in nature. You heard that, right? They are polygamous. They don't like one soup. They don't like one thing. They like varieties. Isn't it? Huh? Are you people in this church? Am I boring you? These are strongholds. Strongholds. One stronghold now is that drink and not be what? Drunk. They will tell you, even some pastors, some priests, reverend fathers, they used to drink. Yeah, they will tell you that. Somebody say, why did you say reverend father? But I said pastors too. All of them are the same. If I can say pastors, I can say reverend father too. Amen? They will tell you to drink and not be what? Drunk. But it's not in the Bible. Some of us have our parents, they drink. Yes. We have parents that drink. And they tell us, and if you check very well, that your father is actually chairman church council. Yet, he drinks. And funny enough, when they go for church council meeting or so, they sit down and they drink and talk about how to move the church forward. Yes, they sit down and drink. You don't get your bottle, no. He collects his blood and they talk about moving the church forward. So how we go raise this money for this thing? You know, things like that. Because those lies have become what? Strongholds. Are you people get down trying to explain to you? Very important. And right now, if anybody rises up and say these things are sins, people will stand and shout against them. Just like when Jesus came, he said some things that have been trending for long. The people had been practicing it. He said this thing is wrong. They were angry at Jesus. Anything he says that is wrong, they were angry at him. Especially when he spoke about divorce. They nearly stoned him. Because the religious men were excited with the ideology. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. So we have a lot of strongholds. Do you know one stronghold is entering the body of Christ right now? That it doesn't matter how you look. What matters is the heart. Have you heard things like that now? These are strongholds. It doesn't matter how you look. Little by little, we can't tell what is gospel. We only know it's gospel when they say Jesus inside the song. As long as they don't say Jesus, we don't know that it's gospel. In fact, these days, they don't even say gospel. They can just say his goodness is working every day like water. And that's all. Then we can just tell this is a gospel face. That's why it's gospel. Else, the chain are the same. The way they fix chains in their hands in the world is the same with the way we fix in the church. In fact, they bore their ears as if that's not enough. You see some that bore their nose in the name of gospel. I rejected one song here. It seemed like I'm a hypocrite. I'll be a wicked pastor. As long as Jesus lives, that song will never be sung here. Except one day I see that the person have removed that thing and say no more all this kind of thing, then we'll start singing the new one he's singing after that time he repents. Because the one he sang with that nose ring carried some spirit. You know, many years ago I had an encounter. What was the encounter? I saw a demon, or I saw demons coming out from the radio why gospel song were being sang, why it was playing. I saw demons coming out many years ago. Am I boring you people? Yeah, I don't need to shout every time. After all, we have finished cardboard, so listen to me. Amen. When I saw the demons coming out from the radio, I was so aback. I had to call for the people ahead of me, seniors in the faith, that I saw demons coming out from the radio while gospel songs were being played. And they said, Simon, are you sure it's not your mind? Until one time I heard a lady in Zaria. Now, it was not for gospel songs. She said she listened to worldly songs and she saw one day her eyes were open over the radio, demons were coming out. I said, my own is gospel I heard though. But demons were coming out. And I asked, what did she say that it meant? She now said it. It meant that they were communicating wrong spirits. I said, okay, what if somebody is singing gospel but is living worldly? That the only time he sings gospel is when he's on stage, but his life is worldly. I don't know that people are getting what I'm trying to say. Is it possible that we'll still be impacting demons to people when we come out to sing if we're living like that? Huh? Are you people here tonight? It is very possible. These days, people are surprised when you talk about, you know, some certain things. People are surprised. Like as I'm talking about these things, there are some people online that are surprised that me, I'm talking about this kind of thing. Because they don't expect a young man like me that should be flexing my life, be talking about all these kind of things. They feel like I should be cool. In fact, I should long to invite such people in the church. No. It's wrong. And you have to be aware that it's wrong. I said something during Kabod. I said, when our fathers of faith talk about us, they don't talk as if they see a future for our generation. And it's something to worry about. To truly worry about. Like the last time I said, when one of the fathers of faith was speaking in Khan meeting about the young generation rising, he said some things that really struck my heart. He said, we hear the outstanding revelations. He said, but when we look at the character, we don't think this generation are ready to carry the move of God and sustain it for a long time like we are sustaining this nation. It was something to worry about. He said, so I think this generation should learn some certain values from us. We may not have all the revelation, but there are certain values that kept us standing for several years. And what are those values? One of them must be purity. I heard Bishop Oedipo said these words many years ago. He said, even if an angel comes to me and tell me that you should come and sing in my church as a man with earrings, I'll drive that angel back to heaven. I heard him say this was many years ago. I'll never forget. It looks as if the man is just being so much of an old cargo. But how many of the young people today are we seeing their work impactful? You know? How many of them are we seeing? They were very impactful. You are surprised that all of a sudden, I've been in this thing for a while, We have seen where gospel singers sing in a certain way. We talk, they say, ah, shut your mouth. And after a while, we hear scandals. I've been in this gospel world for a while. I've seen where gospel singers started well. All of a sudden, scandals tied to their name. Both out there and within. I've heard. I've seen. I've seen men of God started very well by God's grace. And all of a sudden, they are nowhere to be found. Was it not last year a man of God committed suicide in this country? Because there was a scandal that broke out. He made one or two of the ladies in the church pregnant. Wow! I don't want to judge the man of God. But listen, God knows I'm not judging him. While he was alive, I remember the argument online about whatever you do in the flesh does not what matter. It was everywhere. I'm not trying to judge him, but the teaching was there. He will argue it. I'll not call his name. And if you don't know, glory to God. But you should learn. He will always say it. It doesn't matter. Blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. It's in scripture. I wish I really got that scripture. I was reading it today. Where Paul spoke to the shame of some people who turned the grace of God as a license for immorality. Yes, your sins are forgiven. Present, future, past, whatsoever. But it's not a license. I told you before, God has destroyed the nature of sin. And if the nature of sin is destroyed, then the acts of sin cannot follow. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? If the nature of sin is destroyed, the acts of sin cannot follow. There's glory in the New Testament. I'm not trying to stay within legalism. That's what I want to hit this evening. I may just touch it a little bit and we'll break it down more on Sunday. There's glory in the New Testament. You know, Paul speaking to us in 2 Corinthians, he said, if the ministry of condemnation was glorious, he said, the ministry of the righteous, what? Excels in glory. In the prophecy of the new bed in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, what did God say? He said, I'm going to raise a new people. Isn't it? He said, when I raise these new people, what will happen? He said, I'll remove the heart of stone and give them heart of what? Heart of stone and give them heart of what? He said, they're going to be my God and I'm going to be what? Their people. He said, no one will teach them what is wrong from what is right because I'll put my laws in their heart. That's another prophecy of the new bed. That in these days we are supposed to have people who have soft hearts. But do we have people who have soft hearts everywhere? No. We have people with strong hearts. In other words, one of the promises of the new bed is that when they hear the gospel, their lives are completely changed. Imagine all those people in comment section on Facebook hear the gospel. Their hearts are supposed to be completely changed. This is one of the glory of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we can just have encounters that can show us one or two things physically, but there is no glory that changes people from inside out. For instance, remember Moses. The Bible says he encountered a percentage of the glory of God, a measure of the glory of God on the mount. And he had to even cover his eye because it was a fading glory. He covered his eye. The people could not look at the glory, so he had to cover his eye for the people to be able to look at him, right? But after Moses was done, he still became angry. He didn't enter the promised land. What of Elijah that had several encounters? Yet at the end of everything, he called two bear to eat almost 42 children. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It was not about just throwing stones in the spirit. He said, call down fire like Elijah did. What did the Bible say? Jesus responded and said, he rebuked them and said, don't you know the manner of spirit you what? Are you here tonight? Don't you know the manner of spirit you have? Because he didn't just come to show more power. No. Wherever power needs to be shown, he will show. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? But he came to change people. That never happened in the Old Testament. That's still the problem till today in the 21st century. A lot of people are not changed. We have a lot of churches, but a lot of unchanged people. The only thing that can change people is the glory of God. And it can only be revealed in the container of the New Testament. Listen carefully. You know, I was speaking with a young man who lives in the UK currently. And he was telling me the problem. He said, it's too much. You go to somebody, talk about Jesus. He said, in fact, somebody stood up and was running away when he mentioned Jesus. The person was running away. I said, please don't come close to me. I don't want to hear your discussion. It's junk. He said, sometimes people wake up in the morning, you are about to take a train. Somebody, you'll be there waiting to take a train. You will think people are trying to take a train with you. Somebody will just enter when the train comes and it will grind the person. Suicide. He says, sir, it happens almost every week, every day. I I said, how about the churches? I began to mention churches that are new from God's general history that started from those places. He says that they had a good system that every street has a church. Every area has what they call church street. Those churches have been there for long. Do you get what I'm trying to say? He said, but right now when you enter, they've either gotten some of them, and some people who worship other gods are using it to worship their gods. Number one. Highest bidders. Is it number two, when you enter certain churches, you only find very elderly people there. Young people don't go to church. I was so shocked. Then he said to me, there's one place they even worship rats. I said, white people worship rats? He said, yes, sir. He said, rats. That he couldn't hold it. When he heard that the blah, blah, blah person was worshiping rats, that he was trying to hold the laughter. He didn't know why the thing just busted. This is rat that we eat here. We call it yongu. That some people are eating. And some of you think they are more intelligent than us. We eat what they worship. Some of them, but not all of them. You know, the other day I was telling you about China. That we were battling with. We are actually trying to touch one. You know, the two major, they call it religion. So let's call it with them. In Nigeria, Christianity and what? Islam too admit that there is God, just that they can't really, they've not encountered it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We believe that Jesus is the way. They believe that Muhammad is the way. But the God we believe in, alright, is the God they actually what? Just that we know him clearer according to our own beliefs. Are you people get? We're not trying to insult them. Are we together? But in China, they have over 1,000 gods. Over 1,000. Some of you insulting us. They don't pray that we pray. They pray. Oh. In fact, you'll be disappointed in their kind of prayer. They pray to rats. They pray to cats. They pray to monkeys and elephants. Which Nigerian is very dull to worship a monkey? I've never seen. Nigerian people are so wise. They can't worship a monkey. As, especially that you are from this country alone. You can't even... They say, see, our God now monkey. You start laughing as a Nigerian. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Snake that some people worship, we kill it in this country and eat. Am I lying? Some of you have eaten snakes. Some of you seated here. How many of you have eaten snakes? Very plenty. Pastor, you have eaten snake. Okay. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I was just surprised. How did she eat it? And they think we're dull. Are you people here tonight? China! They don't do anything we do. And they are, you know, those people, they just speak from little or no data. They don't understand. Why is China successful? Not because of their God. So if religion can be a problem, China should have a big problem today. Every house, almost every house has a God. Almost every family have a God. Our values are totally different. Do you know if my God is different, my understanding with your own will be different? Meaning there's no unity. The unity we have in this country is far lesser than the unity they have there. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Yet they are successful. Why? They have good government. So I was telling my friend, I said there's need to really explain the New Testament so much to people. There's need. Because we have seen a lot of things happen, but no changes. The promise of the new birth is not really in display. In the second day of Kabod, I was shouting and saying, see, to be a new creation is not to be Gen Z. All these Gen Z characters. That's not what it means for to be a new creation. I wish I could say this thing in Hausa. I would have said, Wallahi. It's so disappointing. I know God too much to adjust to the stupidity I'm seeing in this 21st century in the name of new creation. I know God too much. I boast with my knowledge for God. You think am I not fine? Am I ugly? I can choose to wear chains and wear the blings blings too. I can choose to paint my lips. I can choose to do everything, plait my hair. You think if I plait my hair, I'll not be finer than some of these people? I can choose to do all of those things. Then I'll carry the microphone and lead worship. Then they tell you the presence of God will not come. But the impact of the new birth we'll never see. Because I cannot put new wine in word. What makes us new wine skin, right? It's not the new hairstyle. Huh? Are you people here tonight?
Yes, sir.
It's not the new hairstyle. It's not the fact that men now wear earrings or nose rings. I would not say I had a covenant with Jesus. See, if you know God, you can never adjust to wrong things happening. You will never. Watch the life of Paul. See how he negated falsehood with the whole of his life. It's a shame that we claim we are the new birth, and all we can use to prove it is not even the glory that follows. I bet you some of these people cannot even heal headache. So the reason some of our fathers of faith did more impact than us, listen, they followed some regulations that were quite legalistic, yet it produced so much result because it was still discipline. Now, for instance, in the New Testament, God never negated fatherhood. He started spiritual fatherhood. Do you know, as time goes by in the church, fatherhood and mentorship is dropping? Have you observed? There are a lot of young people that don't have pastors over their life. They will tell you God has called them to the body of Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus. They'll tell you them God have called them to the body of Christ. They can't sit in a place every Sunday and hear the word of God. They don't. Because them, they cannot be limited. They want to be everywhere. They are trusting God to be in Ukraine and US soon. Gathering money to start concert in the UK. And when we are done with all those things, nothing changes. You know, I told that young man, I said, because he was talking about starting something, so I said, take your time and pray very well. Pray, stay with the word. Now, I was not emphasizing really start something. And I'm sure that bothered him small. Because, you know, I have a son in the UK. I should want to start a branch UK. But no. I said, stay with the word of God. Stay with it very well. I said, because there are two sets of Christians. There are what we call the Jews and the Gentiles. In 1 Corinthians 1. The Bible said, the Jews desire what? A sign. It said, but Gentiles what? Wisdom. I said, this set of human beings in this part of the world is wisdom they desire. They need to understand something. And I told him salvation was never supposed to be hinged on demonstration of power in terms of dunamis. Never. It says, this sign shall follow those who believe in my name. It's supposed to follow us. It's not supposed to be the focal point. Meaning signs cannot change anybody. They can quicken people to listen to the word. You know, when you see a sign, you are quickened to listen. What changes you is what you listen to. Because signs don't get into the heart of a man. They are not words. They are not ideologies. It is the wisdom of God that gets into somebody and changes the person from inside out. But anytime a sign was demonstrated in scriptures, the Bible said the hearts of the people were what? Open to hear the word. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Question is, in the Old Testament, did Elijah have the word? No. Did Moses have the word? No. Elisha, did they have the word? No. What did they have? They had the signs. When they threw all the stones and everything in the spirit, were people changed? Not even themselves were changed. In Hebrews 9, the Bible says not even the priests were changed by all of those practices that they did. That is why Jesus had to come. If the signs were enough to change people, Jesus would not come. Because the signs of the Old Testament would have changed people. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? That is why he had to come. And promised that the ministry of the righteous excels in glory. And told us that if our eyes are still on Moses, it will produce death. Because death reigned from Moses down to the last prophet of the Old Testament. Death reigned. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It is Jesus that brought life to us in the New Testament. But death reigned in the Old Testament. What is death? Not, I told you one of the fruit of spiritual death is what? Physical death. By death, I don't mean 6 feet under the ground. I mean total negation from the things of God, from the realm of light. Adam died. How did he die? He became carnally. He described himself who is a spirit from the lenses of the flesh. So if you are carnally minded, that's how we know that Adam died. He said, I'm naked. Meaning he was conscious of himself as what? Physical. Than what? Spiritual. That is how he died. He said, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and what? Peace. That is why in Acts 28, around 23, you see that Paul would take morning till night teaching people Jesus from within Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms. Why was it important? Was that really necessary? And all these people talking about doctrine, I beg, make una just make our fathers of faith, they show power, they don't talk like we talk. But that's illiteracy. If whatever they did in the days they existed was so powerful, why is our country and our nation the way it is today? I'm not saying that they didn't try. They tried. We thank God for their faith. Are you people listening to me tonight? They were wonderful people. But the Spirit of God, probably they didn't have the opportunity to be aware of this revelation like we know today. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They didn't have the opportunity. Because the author of our faith is not a father of faith. The author of our faith is what? Jesus. He's the beginning and the end of our faith. He started it. He ends it. Meaning anything we want to start must be existing in Jesus. We don't practice it because we saw it at the beginning of our faith in this nation. Now, that doesn't mean, if you hear me now, I've not insulted any father of faith. Are you listening to me? Rather, if you heard me from the beginning, I was applauding that there are certain virtues in them we can actually learn. But that doesn't mean that we should follow every theory we hear from them. Alright, you can discard the prophecy, not the prophet. I tell you the truth. I prophesied that to my friends many years ago. I said, if we follow after this pattern we are seeing, we will never see a change in this nation. I said, we may have certain kind of physical result like we are seeing today. Men will feel and want to listen to us. But a time will come, like it is happening in the UK. It was prophesied many years ago. It's happening there right now. Do you think pastors actually reduce the kind of big churches they were building in the UK? No. There are big churches in the UK. Very big. Some of us shouted that we have big churches. There are big churches there. Very glorious at work. Yet people are not going again. Because, you know, the people neglected true wisdom. They just wanted to face ministry and focus on the result like people celebrate logically or naturally. You know, there are more people. The building is so fine. The light is so fine. All the religious activities, concerts, you know, even a comedian can come and crack joke, things like that. And it was tarrying, no problem. But the time came that the life of the people were not getting better as they come to church. They found that they were just hypocrites. A time will come, right? If you are 10, 20, 50 years in the faith and you find out that you have not changed, a time will come you say there's no reason to go to this church. Listen to me carefully. That's what is happening there. You are 10, 20, 50 years, 5 years in the faith, and you are still stuck in a place, in a particular habit. A time will come, you say, I'm tired of being a hypocrite. I want to be real. A statement like, it is better to be imperfect than to fake perfection. Have you heard a statement like that? It's from frustration. It is better to be what? Imperfect than to what? Then you hear things like, just be you. Those statements are from frustration. You know, I told you a vision the Lord showed me. A young man like myself was striving to be righteous and holy and live for God, and he couldn't. The cares of this life were hitting the young man, and at a point, he gave up. Then, in the vision, I heard the guy speaking. He said things like this, motivational. He said saying some motivational preaching, like, try to remember one of it. It doesn't matter what is happening. Just keep on trying. Even if you are a sinner. Something. I wrote it down that time. I can't just find it now. I didn't bring my jot. I would have read the thing for you. I woke up in the middle of the night. I had to touch my wife and say, see what I saw. And explain to her what the Holy Spirit is saying. I said, that means a point comes when life hits you so much, you begin to speak from frustration. You are not speaking by the inspiration of the Spirit. You are speaking from frustration. It sounds so pleasing to the ears, but it's not gospel. It's so pleasing to the ears, it's not gospel. Because you are tried. Then we come to a point. Listen, brothers, whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. Your sins are eternally forgiven, which is true. But whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. It negates the wisdom of God. In a great house, I would. Some to what? And some to what? Now, if a man purges himself from what? He becomes what? Suitable for the masters. Where? On earth. Is the use in heaven? That means if you live in sin, in the flesh, you live in sin, God cannot use you. Could we now affirm that this is the reason why God is not using people that are claiming they are 21st, new creation realities people? See, I like truth too. I've been preaching new creation almost all my life as a Christian. The most powerless set of preachers I've seen are some claiming to be new creation folks. The most powerless. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. And that doesn't mean I preach legalism. No, I've verified. Sometimes these people that teach the opposite have the impetus to talk to some of us that claim we know new creation very well because of the result they see in their ministry. They lay hands on sick people and they are healed. We are just shouting. And when we lay hands, the people come back the same way next Sunday. Then what do you have to tell them? That the ministry of the righteous excels in glory. Now, okay, let's take for instance, you now say actually it's about renewed hearts. You cannot even heal sickness. You are talking about renewed heart. Let's be sincere. It's not necessarily about the power, but the one with the unrenewed heart just got somebody's sick healed. You with the renewed heart, the person is still sick. And you say, no, it's not about miracles. One is shouting on the internet, miracles are cheap. Oh, it's God that just does. You do it. Let him do it through you. Let me warn you people. See, if you come to a point where your ministry is about removing false food from people's life, you've lost touch with God. The only thing you teach on Sunday is how people are not living good, how people are missing it in God. You've lost touch with God. God did not send anybody to focus on that. In trying to bring about the New Testament, we may remove one or two things that are standing on the way. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But our ministry cannot be chiefly about negating people every Sunday and every Tuesday. Don't be like that. Else you'll just be a babbler. You'll be talking. Nothing of the Spirit is flowing through your life. It is proof God is not with you. And you know the problem is that worldly people will clap for you. They'll clap for you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Am I in any way trying to applaud people that teach wrong doctrines? No. But you see, if God must talk to these people, if God must convince them, it must be true we that claim we are new creation folks. They will look at us, see changed hearts, and see a demonstration of the Spirit they had never seen in their life. That will be more convincing than anything. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? In other words, expect the miraculous. Christ is both wisdom and power. Expect it. When you send somebody sick, lay your hands on the sick and they will be healed. The Bible says so. Many years ago, as we grew up, before we even started knowing new creation, old creation, I remember we had some certain practice. Me and my brother faith in ND Kaduna. I remember, I will never forget where a lady was SS. That was one of the miracles that I can always remember till today. She was SS. And they called us to pray. And I remember my spiritual father said, in the heat of the anointing, he just removed this thing and kept it. He said, this is the result of one of our sisters. She says, we want it to be AA. As we open our eye and look, some people did not open their eye. It was wild tongues. 24 hours, we heard the news. She went to do tests. She's AA. Before all of this new creation, old creation, these things started coming. I remember one time we were praying, true life story, and the glory of God broke out so mightily. I remember my closest friend, he's a military man now, he turned and saw an angel. Literally two people saw the angel, three of us did not see, or four of us, but literally oil, we'll do our hands like this, oil will be flowing down from our hands. Literal oil. You rub your hair, oil everywhere, oil. Have you ever had an experience like that before? Strange, right? And as I'm saying it, you'll be thinking I'm lying. But it's the truth. Before all of these arguments are breaking out, things like that were happening. Such that when you go and tell people that you had an encounter like that, they'll tell you the glory of God is human beings. It's not. They'll start, you know, you use all the scriptures to want to prove that you don't even know what you are saying. But it actually did happen. And such a demonstration of the Spirit, so mighty, miracles, signs, wonders, broke out. Prophetic, so accurate, the miraculous, things like that. You know, somebody asked me, say, why is it that you are different and you claim you are teaching new creation realities? I say, because I agree in an apostolic setting. I learned prayer very well. I hated sin with the whole of my life. We're taught things like that. That is why, even though when I started teaching new creation, when it comes to that place when they said, whatever you do in the flesh does not matter, I told them, this is where I stop. It matters. Because I read in the scripture, in a great house, as seven vessels. Then I told them, see, if you continue like this, God will not use you. I did not mock them. I told them the truth. I told you the story. Several years later, I got calls. Most of them repented. You know, they actually stopped following me that time. But they repented to the glory of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. It doesn't work like that. To be a new creation is not to be a Gen Z generation that do things anyhow. Are you listening to me? Sing songs anyhow. We don't even know which song you are singing. Play the beats anyhow in the name of our new creation. That's foolishness. You are not being spiritual. To be carnally minded is dead. Be spiritually minded. You know, to be in Christ is not just to claim, I'm a new creation, I'm Christ, I'm like Christ, I'm the righteousness of God. No, those things, no. The Bible said there's a mystery that has been hidden in ages past for our glory. It said that mystery is what? Christ in us. The what? The assurance of glory. There's a mystery that has been hidden. If you understand that mystery, it will cause you to be glorified. Wait, what am I saying now? If you truly claim you understand the new creation reality's mystery, it will show in your life. You can't adjust to anything in darkness. No. Yes, you are not living by legalism. Alright? You are free in Christ. You are living by the Spirit. Yet, no altar of the world in you. No altar of sin in you. You know, there's an ideology that, you know, people believe. I was reading a book. Somebody sent me a book. A church gifted me a book. A gift, probably, in my office. So I decided to look at it on Sunday after first service, right? I opened it and I checked one of the chapters, chapter 4. The man was trying to be careful. You know what the man wrote? He said, I hear people say we are like Jesus. You can't be like Jesus. You are just a partaker of his divine nature. You just partook small in his nature. I said, take the book home. I don't want it. He was scared to write that we are partakers. That since the Bible says we are partakers of his divine nature, we are not like him. We just partook of his nature small. We can do some of the things he did, but we cannot do everything he did. Then I said, close the book, throw it away. It's not a book for me. In fact, I don't want to even know that the book is in that place. Because we look at ourselves so ordinary. You know, you look at Pastor Joe, he grew up in Wadata, wherever he grew up, Apaba. Huh? Apa. Anybody knew him from base? From the base? Who knows Pastor Joe from childhood here? If you knew him, raise your hands up. Anybody? Okay, Cephas, you knew him. Was he always like this? Such a terrible young man, isn't it? Huh? Somehow God changed him, isn't it? Now, notwithstanding, it is very difficult for Cephas like this to look as Pastor Joe. Who are two best friends here? Two ladies or guys, two best friends that you have noticed? Huh? Okay, two of you come. Bridget and Joyce, come out. They pointed themselves as best friends. Sit down first. They are siblings, but they are still best friends, so they should come. It's nice for sisters to be best friends. I hope they don't fight very well. They fight. They are behaving like best friends. It's the fruit of best friends. If you don't fight as best friends, what are you best friends for? All right, let's stand. So you face the crowd. You people know yourselves more than even Miriam knows you people. Am I right? Okay, Miriam, are you hearing? Miriam is the elder sister. They say they know themselves more than Miriam. Meaning Miriam is yet to know some things about themselves. If you tell Bridget that Joyce just raised 3 dead people back to life. Bridget, if you heard that Joyce just raised 3 people back, I know you will say by God's grace it can happen. But I want you to ignore God's grace for now and look at it literally. Will you be shocked? Now, she just honestly said she'll be shocked. Why will you be shocked? Is there any reason? She said because she knows her sister. You know, when we say somebody raised somebody back to life, the person should be very consecrated with the Lord. But because she knows her sister, I'm not saying the sister is not consecrated with the Lord, but there's something she knows we don't know. That is making her talk like that. That's how it is. We have normalized the way we see ourselves. We are too ordinary before each other's eye. Even before ourselves, we are too ordinary. When they say human being, it's like we say human beings. We are too ordinary before our very eyes. Then when they say you are a partaker of God's divine nature, you say, no, I'm not rich. Me? Have his nature. Have this, what make God, God in us. No. I'm dust. Have you heard people that say things like, any anointing that will make me not serve God well, may I never get it. Have you heard people that talk like that? It's such a stupid statement. That any anointing that will make me not serve God well, may I not. So, you know, they are praying to God that God should be sensible enough to know that any anointing is giving them that will make them not serve him well, he should not give them. Because God just used to pour anointing any of people. God does not, he's not a good manager. He pours anointing anyhow. So anyone that will kill me, may you not give me. And you see them crying, may I never have it. May I never have it, God. I don't think they are pleasing God. It's funny that human beings are thinking they are wiser than God. Then you see the other ones. They even change it to a song. I was somewhere for a meeting. I was invited. And leading the worship to bring me in. And I heard a song. Savior, this dust you've saved has come to worship you. The dust you save. I just kept my hand down. And when they finish, I took the mic and I led 2 worship songs. The anointing was so strong. As I was teaching, I didn't talk about it. In the middle, I said, that's why you're not dust. The lady shall say, yes, sir. She stood up. Yes, sir. I'm not dust. I just told her in a nice way. Somewhere else, I went to preach. And the lady introducing me, they say, we should pray. We heard he's a man of revelation. Let's pray that God will through him give us a revelation that can help us to last for 5 years. It can keep our faith for 5 years. Ha! I said, oh, wow. Is it because of my stature that they think my revelation will help them last for 5 years? But it was their ideology. They think a revelation can help you tarry for some time. So I was about to teach. That one, I was not so mature that time. I hit it immediately. I quoted a scripture. I said the word of God lasts eternal. It will not cost you to last for 5 years. It will cost you to last eternal in righteousness. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? I wish I gave dear Nathaniel that video, but I'll give you before Sunday. Remember one example I gave one time about cascading yourself like a particular animal and getting into a jungle? Can you remember? I saw it literally. I was watching some reels on Facebook and I saw it. I had to screen record it. I'll send it to you people. The guy, a walking lion. Lion, somebody looks like a lion, but he's walking without the other leg. So he entered jungle, alright? And the lions were moving. They ran a bit. But the lions observed that this lion is actually moving like this. He's not moving like at some point. So the lion now went back and rushed. When they rush the guy, they time the head of the lion. How can lion time the head of another lion? When they plucked the head, the guy, as they removed the head, the re-head of the guy found the expression. He now entered car and locked. He was saved that day. The other one was a tiger. Cascaded himself, but tiger was walking like this. Do you know what was fighting the tiger? Antelope. Antelope came and was seeming to push tiger away. What has it been seen that antelope is trying to pursue tiger? Can you see it? See him? See tiger? Are you seeing? In the real sense, can this ever happen? These are some Christians. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Satan just go, hey. Because what Satan understands light to be, they are not looking like it. What Satan understands righteousness to be, they are not looking like it. God said, I'm a light so shining, and in me there's no what? You claim to be like God, but there are not just traces of darkness. There are gates of darkness in your life. Go and sit down. Thank you. I even get what I'm trying to say tonight. I hope people are catching this revelation. Why some people, when they just take light, then their faith goes off. Wrong understanding of righteousness. And I have this important message to share to some of you who are ladies here. You can't claim to be the righteousness of God and fear cockroach. Something is wrong with your righteousness. You can't claim that. You must fight against cockroach. Fear for cockroach. God's righteousness. I know you did not see this one coming. Look at God's righteousness in the night when cockroach move. Jesus! That's God's righteousness. As I'm talking now, some of you are thinking it's not important. It's important too. Are you here tonight? So, I will try to end now. All of you, if you go out there and people are telling you a new creation in the name of Gen Z, run away from those kind of understanding. I will not really hit so much. On Sunday, I will hit it very, very well. Is that okay? Run away from such ideologies. Huh? Don't be scared to run away. Like I said, I was listening to a song and I almost started crying when I thought of people like Joe Amral, who are in South Africa as missionaries. I almost started crying when I thought of people like, what was this his name, Banley, that was in India. I almost started crying. I thought of the kind of things they did. You know, some of these people, we should carry some books and give you to read to show you how revival broke out. Men that entered places lost their loved ones. For I think Banley, it was at the end that when you did I finish that story on Sunday? When they wanted to kill him, you know, when they collected the collateral and, you know, the foreigner, they wanted to kill him too because they collected the two people. They wanted to kill him, but before they went out, they were praying in the spirit, and that lady was praying for them. Remember the lady that was praying for them? Then he said, I want to be the first to go out. He left the two people that escorted him and went out. When he went out, before him, by his side, there were two big angels. He was not seeing it. They were seeing the angels. The story said the king and all the people bowed down and were worshipping him like a god. Because they saw two big angels by his side. This cannot happen for a generation that instead of praying in the spirit are wearing chains. Listen, no, I know what I'm telling you. I know what I'm telling you. It cannot happen. Paul said that I was aware of the grace of God. That's why I labor more than they all. If you truly understand these glorious riches in the sense, you will labor in prayer. Are you listening to me? You will labor in prayer. You can't be having wrong results in your life, stupid results in your life. You wake up, your child is dead. You wake up, your mom is dead. You wake up, your wife just died. Then you're saying glory to God. If your eyes are open in the spirit, it's not God wants to slap you. Because you are giving him a bad name. The Bible said when they killed James, when the king saw that it pleased the people, the Pharisees, he took up Peter to kill. Ah! They killed James. Let me end with this. They took up Peter when he pleased the Pharisees. He thought they were Christians, the so-called Christians. But when they took up Peter, they said, no. Not this time. They tarried all night praying in the spirit. The church tarried all night praying in the spirit. Suddenly something happened. The gate was opened. The chains fell from Peter's hand. He stood up, walked down to the city gate. It opened on its own accord. And he went out. Why? The church prayed. We can see several testimonies in scripture that is tied to prayer. I said prayer is a common denominator for manifestation. Through the Old Testament to the New Testament. It doesn't change you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And I said something at the end of last Sunday. I said, just be praying. Forget the matter. Just be praying. Alright? Stop praying about things. If you keep on praying about things, you will never capture the anointing. You will never get into the realm of the glory. Just be praying in the spirit. Forget about things. Be praying. In fact, when you don't know why you are praying, just be praying. Just be praying like that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Make it a routine. Every morning, 2 hours, 1 hour, 3 hours, as more as you can go. If you can't pray yourself, find a friend. I told you that. Meet a friend that can pray. There's nothing to be proud about. Join the person to stir your fire. Pray. Redeeming the days, the time for what? The days are evil. A time will come. You will know why you are praying. Are you listening to me? A time will come. It will be proven why you are praying. Else you will give God a bad name. Bad things will be happening in your life. Are you listening to me? Oh, glory to God. What is my confidence for tomorrow? Nothing but the power of God. Nothing but the word of God. I can tell you by God's grace, I'm not expecting to lose anybody that I'm raising. Why? Because I know I can pray. It's the truth. It sounds like pride, but it's the truth. I can't see somebody in the hospital and they will tell me he's dying tomorrow. Then I'll go and start crying. No! He will rise like nothing ever happened. Why? Because I'm ready to pray. Just pray. Wake up in the morning, pray. Pray without ceasing. Stay with the word. Are you listening to me? It will affect all of your being. Enjoy the glory of God. You pray every day, you will never have issues. You go out there, somebody tries to slap you. You walk away without hurting the person. Why? You've been communing with the Holy Spirit. You stayed so much in the place of prayer. People will talk against you, no problem. You meet challenges. Some of you, how the devil want to take you out from the faith is just little offense. But if you learn to pray, it will not happen. Little offense, not even in your place of work, in church. You may just get a little bit offended, that's all. It can be the root of your problem. Like John the Baptist. He was preparing the way for Jesus. When Jesus came, he was offended at Jesus. That's how he died. He lost alignment. How he died was so terrible. They cut off his head. I believe if John the Baptist was in the right state, such death cannot happen to him. Offense is a terrible thing. Are you here tonight? So, don't get offended. because you always be praying. Keep on praying. Don't joke with your prayers. And Christianity is not a sprint. End with this. It's not a sprint. Everybody just wanting we are taking nations. Calm down. Calm down. God wants nations to be taken. Are you listening to me? But He wants to raise men that can take those nations. He's not in a hurry. Somebody that died for you 2,000 years ago, you think he's in a hurry? Why did you know him? Only made men can make others. I told my wife, the Lord stirred in my heart seasons of trainings. I said, Pastor Simon, which level of training? I said, yeah, for pastors, for everybody, seasons of trainings with the word. That I will raise leaders, global leaders everywhere, teaching you the word of God. So I don't need cameras to be filming me. I just want to be teaching you. Teach you for years, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. I tell you when it's time to find expression. The world cannot contain us. We will take all the time and raise you so that you think the world alone. We're not in a hurry. Are you listening to me? It's more about what? Impact. Impact. We want to see the impact of the New Testament in the lives of people. Change hearts. The heart of stone being removed. The heart of flesh coming. Are you listening to me? That as we speak the word of God, lives are changed from inside out. Smokers will drop their cigarettes. Drunkards will drop their bottles. Womanizers will drop whatever. Manizers will drop whatever. In the name of Jesus. There's a promise in the New Testament that is supposed to find expression through the New Covenant that says God can change hearts of stones to hearts of flesh. He can change any kind of human being. And I believe we're about to see that. He said, I will not put new wine. Do we have the new wine skin ready in this place? You believe you are the new wine skin? Shout glory. So like I said, Gen Z is not what? Lord, we give you praise and we worship you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. You're my hiding place, my safe refuge, my comfort. Lord, you are. Most holy, my hiding place, my safe refuge, my treasure, Lord, you are my friend and king. Anointed one, most holy, you're my hiding place, my safe refuge, my treasure, Lord, you are my friend and King, anointed one, most holy, my hiding, my safe refuge, my treasure, Lord, you are. My friend and King, anointed one, most holy, I will exalt you.
I will exalt you. I will exalt you. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt. I will exalt you, Jesus. I will exalt. You are my God. You are. Oh, I will exalt you, Lord. I will. I will exalt you, Lord. I will. I will exalt you, Jesus. I will. You are my God, you are my highest place, you're my heart, my safe, my treasure, Lord, you are. My friend, the king, my friend, I know you're my hiding place, my safe refuge. Oh. My treasure, Lord, you are my friend and king, my friend. Anointed one, most holy. Because you are with me. Because you're with me. Oh, because you're with me, oh God, I will not fear. Because you're with me, Lord, because you're. Because you're with me, Jesus. Because you're with me. Because you're with me, Lord. Because you're with me. I will not fear. I will. Oh, because you're with me, Lord. Because you're with me, Lord. Because you're with me, Lord. Because I will not fear, Lord. I will. I will exalt you. I will exalt you. I will exalt you. I will exalt you. Oh, na na na. I will exalt you, Lord. I will. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Jesus. I will. You are my God. You are my God. Because you're with me. Because you are with me, Lord. Because you're with me, Lord. Because you're with me. I will not feel awkward. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For your name is a light that the darkness can't deny. Your name cannot be all. Your name is a light forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light forever lifted high. Your name cannot be all. We sing Jesus, you made the dark. You made the darkness tremble, Jesus. You silence me, Jesus. You made the darkness. You made the darkness tremble, Jesus. You silence me. For your name is a name that the shadows can. Your name cannot be all. Nothing can overcome us in this life. Your name forever lifted high. Your name cannot be Jesus, you are Jesus, Jesus. You're made the darkness for Jesus. Your silence fear. Jesus, you make the darkness. Jesus, you silence me. Your name is a light that the dark can deny. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every head and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name. Break every stronghold, break every stronghold. Shine to the darkness, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is power, Lord. Your name is power. Your name is life, your name. Yeah, na na masha, na na ne, maya koda ya. Shine every flower. Oh, shine, shine through the shower. Oh, like a flower. Na na masha, na diya na no, sha na ne. Sing Jesus on the mountains, and Jesus in our streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Oh, ya na na ne, ma na na ne, ya na na ne, ya ya. Oh, shout Jesus from the mount. Oh, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness. Over, yeah. Every enemy, Jesus for my family, Jesus for my family, I speak the whole name, Jesus. Oh, yeah, na, oh, yeah, na, na. I sing with more passion. Jesus on the mount, Jesus on the mount, Jesus in our streets, Jesus in. Jesus, over every end. Jesus for my family, Jesus for my family, I speak the whole name, Jesus. There's a lot of things in that name. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Oh, your name. Oh, ya na na ma, ya na na ma, ya na ma. Oh, ya na na ma, break every. Shine through the darkness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Your name is power. Your name is. Your name. Break every strong. Shine through the darkness. You are burning like a fire tonight. Burn like a fire. Thank you, Holy Spirit. for your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a life forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we give you all the praise and we thank you.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.